Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them."
Good evening, everybody. It's good to be able to share with you a bit this evening. It's a very short reading we've had tonight, isn't it? And as I thought about that, what I'm going to share with you, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever been unpopular? Somebody said often then. I know the feeling now and again. I'm probably feeling unpopular now because I've asked a question. If you think of maybe Vincent Tan, the owner of Cardiff City, he's been extremely unpopular until Friday when they changed their colours. And there are times when each of us have been unpopular in our lives. I can recall a number of times, particularly in business, when I've had to give bad news and you've been unpopular. But imagine what it must have been like for this man in this short story we've read this evening. This man who was a leper. The man who was an outcast. What it must have been like for him. Totally separate from everybody. Cast away from everybody in total isolation. No friends, no family, no opportunity to touch anybody. He'd have to be kept away from absolutely everybody because of the disease that he's got. Totally alienated. And yet in the story we've had this evening, Jesus changes all of that. He comes and transforms his life and he gives him a brand new start. The beginning of a new year is a good thing of a brand new start, isn't it? And it's a brand new start in this man's life. Leprosy in the day of the Lord Jesus was a real stigma. A little bit like Ebola today, I suppose. Can you imagine if somebody walked in with Ebola in this room at this very moment? It's not going to happen. But can you imagine what we would be like? We'd be heading for the exits, wouldn't we? We'd go anywhere other than being near that particular person. That was exactly like it was in the days of Jesus when somebody had leprosy. They would run as far as they possibly could away from somebody who had that type of ailment, that type of disease. William Barclay says about this, that at the time of Jesus, it was the worst of all diseases. It was greatly feared. It was disfiguring, and sometimes it was fatal. What I'm going to say now is if you were watching the TV program, the news or something like that, they would put this preface before it. They would say, this might disturb some viewers. This might disturb now some hearers or what I'm going to say or what leprosy is like. It's a skin, flesh and nerve-eating disease. It begins on the surface of the skin and it spreads until it covers the whole body. As it spreads, leprosy eats its way down to the very bone. It destroys entire limbs. And eventually causes death. Terrible picture, isn't it? I can remember some years ago watching a documentary in a leper colony in India and seeing some of the people there, seeing them totally disfigured. You know, there were things that were missing off their bodies because of what leprosy had done to them. And the picture of leprosy we have in the Bible goes a bit deeper than just the physical side, but we'll come to that maybe in a moment. But a person in Jesus' time had to be separate, I said, from everybody, and they were considered completely unclean, physically and spiritually. They were total outcasts, completely alienated, pushed to one side as far as society was concerned. Nobody could approach them within 6 feet, and they had to go around in a particular way. Leviticus 13 says this, "Those who suffer from a serious skin disease must tear their clothing and leave their hair uncombed. They must cover their mouth and call out, 'Unclean, unclean.' As long as a serious disease lasts, they will be ceremonially unclean. They must live in isolation in their place outside the camp." What an existence. To once maybe have a family, to have lots of friends, have lots of acquaintances, have a business and all the rest of it. And the moment that comes, you're cast aside and you're pushed out to the outer limits as far as society is concerned. This man in the story was very, very unpopular because of that. He was cast aside. But in the Bible, there's another meaning for the reason of the word leprosy. It's a picture, it's a symbol, if you like, of sin in a life, and sin and its awful consequences. It's not the only picture that's there, but it's one of them. And by the Jews, they consider that as a direct judgment of God. If somebody had leprosy, God was judging them. And the three examples in Scripture I can think of, Miriam was one of them. Miriam and Aaron stood out against Moses. And as a result of that, Miriam was struck down by leprosy. There's another story of Gehazi, or Gehazi, whatever you want to call him, Elisha's servant. When Naaman had leprosy and he came to Naaman for healing, Naaman refused to take any reward for it. For Gehazi had other intentions. Ah, there's lots of goods here. I wouldn't mind having some of those. So he went after Naaman and said, oh, my master's had a change of heart. I'll take them. As a result of that, he contracted the disease that Naaman had. Naaman being cleansed, Gehazi got the disease. Another act of judgment, if you like, of God, as far as the Old Testament is concerned, known as Uzziah. When he was a proud king and he went into the temple of God and he went in to burn incense before God and it wasn't his place. And God cast him aside from being king and he had to live in isolation. And the Jews knew those stories. And as far as they were concerned, if anyone had leprosy, it was the judgment of God. Interestingly, earlier on, just before I started as we came into the service, John gave a picture. And he gave a picture of this very dark cloud, like a storm cloud, a threatening cloud come in. And to many people, God's judgment is like that, isn't it? It's a storm cloud. It's going to come and destroy, and it's going to give wrath. There's also another picture of that. Light comes out of darkness as well. We'll think about that too. Skin disease like this was devastating for the people of the time. Not a good thing at all. And like the skin disease, the sin destroys from inside. A little thing starts with, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, just like in leprosy, until eventually the whole person gets infected. And sin separates. It separates one from one another, and it separates us from God. God's pure. God's holy. God's righteous, and that's very clear. And yet we heard the word sin earlier on, didn't I? That's a word you don't hear very much today, do you? We were talking on Wednesday evening about a couple years ago. If you said they were living in sin, you knew what that meant. They were not married and living together. I don't think you would ever hear that phrase today. Or if you did, people really wouldn't understand what you're talking about. For the word sin is hardly ever used. And yet sin is very clear what it means in the Bible. Sin is something which separates people. It separates one from one another, and it separates us from God. The Bible tells us all have sinned. We've all fallen short of God's standards. Whatever standard we might think we've got for ourselves falls short of what God sets. As I've told you before, we've now got two grandchildren, two grandsons. The one is 2.5, the one's only 5 months. But the 2.5-year-old has learned to be naughty. Quite easily. And now, every now and again, his mother has to say to him, go and sit on the naughty step. Now, he actually says, I don't mind going to sit on the naughty step now and again. He's got this impish grin on his face. But now and again, he recognizes that what he's done, even at his young age, is not right. And it's affected somebody else. And he has to come and say sorry. And that's what we need to do too, and we'll think about that maybe a bit later on. You see, when we think of sin today, we don't think it in terms of being separate. We don't think of doing things that are wrong. It's just that person's actions or that person's character or their trait. It's just him or it's just her. But when you think about it, selfishness, greed, lack of social justice, theft and murder and all the other things we find, all those things hurt and they harm. And they come from inside. They come from inside our heart. The Bible says, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's right there, deep within us. And we taught it. It just emanates out every now and again. Comes out in rage. They talk about road rage today. I have to tell you now and again, I am subject to that. When I'm driving along and I see somebody driving not very well, And I think there's an accident coming here. What are they doing? And I think of Rome, wait a moment, I shouldn't do that. Maybe I'm not driving very well either. And there by the grace of God go I. We need to be very careful when we point fingers. But one thing I do recognize this, is that though we're all sinners, we all need a cure. And this man here was going to come and have a cure. And I'm going to think about that now in these next few moments. And it goes with verse by verse. The man came to Jesus, verses 1 and 2. When Jesus came down the mountainside, large crowds followed him, and a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and asked, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Roger, last week, set the scene for all of the series we're going to have. And he was talking about Matthew chapter 4. At the end of Matthew chapter 4, we have a picture there of Jesus healing everybody who came to him. Then we've got chapters 5, 6, and 7, which are almost like parentheses, where Jesus is doing some teaching. He's teaching his disciples there up on the mountainside. But now he's finished that, and he's come down the mountainside, and initially like the ministry is going to continue. The ministry of healing is going to continue. He taught his disciples well. He'd given them all they needed to know. But now he's going to give them a practical application of what they've been listening to. I can remember vividly when I was in my education years, not just in school, but later when I went to college and stuff like that, and to my professional qualification. There were things you had to learn, but then you had to put them into practice. If you don't put them into practice, it didn't mean very much. It was just an academic exercise. It was just in the head. Jesus had given them all they needed to know about the Word of God, all they needed to know about how to live, but now they have to put it into practice. And he was going to show them what that meant by doing a miracle, by performing the healing of this man. You see, his way of teaching was this: information, observation, application. Listen to the teaching, watch how it's done, and then go and do it yourself. That's why healing on the streets, for example, is so important. That we actually go and do what Jesus did. That we continue the ministry that God wants us to do. That he started. Actually, the apostle says this: Jesus began to do these things. And the power of God is still around. Hasn't changed. We sang this morning, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Or words to that effect. And the power of God is still to be there and still to be exercised today. We're still to be expecting God to do great things. Yes, it's a time of preparation. And this week, when the theology course starts, for example, that's a time of preparation, a time of learning. But ultimately, it's got to be put into practice. Jesus gave solid biblical teaching, but then he applied it. So it was half doctrine, if you like, half application. So it would be seen in the lives of people. At the time, Jesus was very popular. They said the other man was unpopular. Jesus was popular. Large crowds came to hear him. They came to see him. And I wonder whether this man had been waiting quite some time for Jesus to come down the mountainside so he could meet with him. Because he knew that the only way he was going to be cured of his leprosy, the only way he could be brought back into society, the only way he could go back into worship, was for the supernatural healing to take place. He believed, I think, that Jesus was the Messiah. He heard about him. He knew this man was different. And this man could do something for him that nobody else could do. So when he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me. I'm unclean. He recognized that his cleansing could only come from God. His cleansing could only come if Jesus would deal with him physically and spiritually. I think the coming of the leper shows a couple of things. First of all, he recognized he was in need. And I think that's the first thing that we need to recognize too. We are needy people. We think we're self-sufficient, don't we? We think we can cope with anything that throws us in life. And yet, as we sang a little bit earlier on, we said, blessed be thy name, or blessed be your name. When it's good and when it's not so good, we need to recognize we need to know God in our lives. We need him in every area of our lives, not just part of our lives, not just on a Sunday, or maybe we meet in midweek when we have our groups or something like that. It's every area of our lives. He wants to be king of our lives. He wants to be Lord of our lives. And we need him. And the leper here recognized that he needed Jesus. He needed him because his life had been ruined. The outcast. The one thrown away outside of society. The one who could go nowhere near anybody else. and that only within 6 feet, needed, if he wanted to be restored, he needed to have a work done in his life. How much we need God's work in our lives too. First to come to him, but then when we have to, we come to him, for him to continue to work in us, to continue to refine in us, to continue to change in us and transform in us. We need him in every area. Don't hold him off. Don't put him to one side. Let him come in. He wants the best for us. He wants to take us into new areas, into different areas, into a deeper walk with him, to a deeper understanding of him. He wants us to know him. Not just to know about him, but to truly know him. But it's something else too. This leper, when he came to Jesus, had faith. He obviously believed that God could do something. There's no doubt that Jesus' fame had spread abroad. There were large crowds there. You know, they'd heard what he had done. Maybe they'd seen some of the miracles that he'd done in Matthew chapter 4. They certainly had experienced something of him. And therefore, maybe he understood that this man was truly the Messiah. And he would have known what the Bible said in Isaiah 61, funny enough, which was shared last week with us. The Messiah, when he would come, would preach the gospel to the poor. He would heal the brokenhearted. He would preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind to set at liberty them that are bruised. He would understand all of that because he knew the Messiah would come with healing in his wings. He would know that if anyone came to the Messiah, the sent one, the anointed one of God, would do something transforming. He had heard. What do we read? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He understood something maybe of the truth of the word of God. He believed it, and he came to Jesus. And he came because he knew that Jesus could deal with the issues that were in his life. In this case, it clearly was the leprosy that was there, but the deep-seated need of being restored and being reconciled. There was another reason too, I believe, why it was important that he came to Jesus. He came because he realized that Jesus was all important. He didn't care about anybody else. He didn't care what the people thought. He must have come secretly, by the way. If you think about it, he wasn't allowed to go within 6 feet of anybody else. So he must have covered up what was wrong with him, so that other people wouldn't have recognized he had a problem. But he realized if he had to come, he had to come whatever the circumstances. And he had to come and listen to what Jesus had to say. And he was willing to suffer that humiliation because he recognized that Jesus could do something that nobody else could do. He could make a transformation in his life. He could change him. 40-odd years ago, that happened to me. Well, it was a leper or anything of that nature, but I recognized I had a need. And it didn't matter what my friends might say. It didn't matter what my family might say. And they weren't that chuffed about it, I've got to be honest. But I recognized I had to come to Jesus and realize that I needed him to come and change my life and transform my life. My family thought everything was okay. I knew it wasn't. I knew that I needed a transformation. I needed my sins to be forgiven. And I knew I could be only made right by coming to God, by coming to God through the Lord Jesus. I heard the message. And the message resounded in my heart and redounded in my heart that I needed to come to him. It was just over 40 years ago that took place. My family have changed a little bit since then, and they accept me as I am now. But humiliation sometimes comes. David said when he was mocked, I will do even more things which humiliate me if it means I know God and I worship God. This man here knew that God could change him and that Jesus was the only one who could do that, and nothing was going to hinder him from coming to Jesus. This is going to verse 2. He says this, doesn't he? Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. It says there that he knelt before him. Kneeling down shows he recognized who this was. He worshipped. That's what it means. If you look at the other scriptures where this same story is shared, you will see in one case, he falls prostrate before him, his face down to the ground. He's worshipping. He's worshipping because he recognizes that this is the only person. This is God. And God can deal with me, and God can change me. But he also says this, if you are willing. He didn't demand it. He didn't say, it's my right to be healed. He didn't say that, you know, because of who I am, you've got to do it. He said, if you are willing. It reminds me a little bit of the story, I suppose, of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, when they were brought before the king Nebuchadnezzar, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace, where they said, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter what happens. I will still worship. I will still trust. I will still believe. They could have died, but they didn't, because God decided to rescue them. God was willing to do that in their case. He knew that God may not have been willing, for whatever reason, but he came with a faith that God can and will do it if he will. We pray, don't we? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's not wimping out, as some people might think it is. It's actually trying to get into the will of God, that we do the will of God on earth as it's done in heaven. And this man here came, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He believed that emphasis, you can make me clean. Not you would go to some hospital, not really go to some healing meeting, but you can make me clean, and make me clean now. You could do it straight away, if you so wished. He was acknowledging that Jesus was not just the Lord, the Savior, but Lord. And you know, sometimes we're quite keen to call Jesus Savior, but he's Lord. He's Lord of all. And he wants to be Lord of our lives in every area. This man understood that. And he recognized him, and he actually uses the word, Lord. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. What was amazing was Jesus' response in the next verse. Because in the next verse, you see there that Jesus reached out and touched him. Think for a moment. Nobody could come near a leper. They'd be 6 foot away. And here's Jesus, touching him and saying, I am willing, be clean. And immediately he was clean. Jesus, if you like, took upon the plague himself by touching him. But the plague was taken away because Jesus is Lord of all and could change this man's life. I mentioned earlier on that the Jews associated leprosy with sin. And one of the things that was accused of was being a sinner. And yet actually there was never any evidence there for him, for that. John 8 verse 46 says this, can any of you, when he's talking to the Pharisees, ever accuse me or prove me guilty of any sin? Of course they couldn't. Because he was sinless, he was spotless, he was undefiled, he was free from sin. There was no area in his life that any accusation could be laid against him. That angered some of the people of the day. Of course it did. Made him unpopular in later years and obviously led to his death. But here, he's taken upon the sin of this man. He's taken upon the plague of this man and said, be healed or be clean. And immediately that happened. He said, I am willing. I believe God's still doing that now. I believe God is still doing that now in the lives of individuals, not just bringing them to salvation, but also healing them. He's also saying, I am willing. I want them to be healed. We've seen that here, haven't we? We've seen those come for healing. And God has touched them. And God has healed them. And the healing is not just a short term, it's a long term thing. Because that's what God's in the business of doing. This man knew something about that. That doesn't mean everybody who comes gets healed, by the way. Please don't get me wrong. But God is willing. He wants that to happen in people's lives. And we've seen it in lives here, in recent days, not in days past, but in recent days. Only last year, Jack, when he had the trouble with his arm, when he broke his arm, prayed for, goes to the hospital and finds out there's no break. Because that's what our God does. He does those things. All he expects us to do is to trust, to believe. Let him do what he needs to do. to be part of the work that he calls us into, to share with him. I said about his disciples, they had to learn. They had to see, but they also had to experience, and they had to do. And we need to do the same thing. We can't heal anybody, but God can. All we need to do is recognize that. Let him come and do the healings that he wants to do in people's lives, physically, spiritually, and emotionally as well. He's interested in every area of us, not just one part of us, not just our souls. He's in every area of us. He made us as we are, and he wants us to be whole in him. And what happened to the man here? Immediately, he was cured. There wasn't some build-up. There was no fanfare. There were no frills. There were no frills with all of this. There was no trumpet from the top of a temple or anything like that. He was healed. A miracle took place. And what was the result of that miracle? What did he say to the man? Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody, but go to the temple, go to the priest instead, and offer the sacrifices that are necessary in the law of Moses. Can you imagine what it must have been like for him? If you had been healed with a disease like that, wouldn't you want to tell somebody? Wouldn't you want to share with somebody what had happened in your life? There had been change and transformation. The good things had come because God had done this in your life. The picture here is of going and proving that the miracle had taken place and also showing that he could come back to worship. He could come back into the temple. He could go back into the synagogue. He could go back into community and come back into fellowship. But it's also a picture here of being able to proclaim the truth of what God had done in his life. Somebody showed a picture before we came out of a trumpet and didn't know what the word, what it meant. I believe what it means is we should be proclaiming the truth of what God has done in our lives. To be able to tell other people what he's done and share with other people what he's done. Alpha on Wednesday is that opportunity. Blades across the way is another opportunity to do just that. But part of the trouble we have in our minds is we have events or we have things that go on. We think, that's what it is. It's not that. That's part of it. An important part of it, by the way. It's what we do and what we say and how we proclaim the life of Jesus in our lives day by day. I think we're going to have great things for the project across the way. I've got no concerns about this week. I know the others, I've heard that from you before, and I haven't. God's in control, and it's going to happen. I've got no doubt about that. And that's not blind faith. I believe that God has given it to us. And great things are going to come from that place. We aren't going to wait. Great things can come now. They can start here and now. God can come and do the healings that he needs to do here and now. That takes us to another level, as it would be. But it starts now. This man, when he came to Jesus, trusted. He believed. He believed that God could do what he couldn't do. He believed God could change him and transform him and make him a brand new person. Restore him into the fellowship, if you like, of the community. Bring him back to his family and to his friends. Now, we don't see it here, but I believe there was no sign of leprosy in this man. And it wasn't just a little bit taken away. He was completely clean, as it would be. A bit like Naaman, if you like, in the Old Testament. He was made clean in every possible area of his life. Made right with God. When we came to faith, we were made right with God. We believe, we just sang earlier on, didn't we? We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion, and that he's conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. We believe those things, don't we? That's why we sang them. We believe them. Let's live them. Let's live them out. That people will actually see and understand that what we talked about in our services, we mean. We live it day by day. I believe I said the blaze is going to be a higher level to what we have had before. But starting now. And God could do something tonight. I believe he's here. He's been here all the time. And I believe he's going to do something this evening. I don't know what that is, by the way. I believe he's going to do something. But that's because we are willing and he is willing. We've been worshipping. And this man worshipped. And as we worshipped and he believed, God manifested himself. And I believe he's going to do the same thing here. Amen. So may the God of peace, with the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's say the grace to one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.